While the Asia-Pacific region has made spectacular success over the years, pulling almost a billion people out of poverty and making people healthier, the region needs to vastly accelerate efforts if it is to meet the ambitious Sustainable Development Agenda by 2030. The greatest challenge for the region is growing inequality, says Kaveh Zahiri, the Deputy Executive Secretary for Sustainable Development at the UN Economic and Social Commission for Asia and the Pacific, ESCAP. In this interview, UN News' Vibhu Mishra speaks with Mr. Zahiri on how the Asia-Pacific is doing in terms of implementation of the 2030 agenda.
Well, it's a complicated and mixed picture. On the one hand, when you look back over the past couple of decades, there's been extraordinary progress in Asia-Pacific. Somewhere in the region of a billion people have been pulled out of poverty. People are living healthier lives. They're living longer lives. You see the middle class is expanding. More than half of the world's middle class now live in Asia Pacific. So it is in some ways it's a story of spectacular success. On the other hand, the work we've done to review implementation of the SDGs across the 17 goals shows that the region as a whole is only on track to succeed to fully implement one SDG, and that's SDG 4 on education. For the rest of the SDGs, we need to vastly accelerate progress. And there are certain SDGs where actually the region as a whole is moving backwards, for example, on inequality. So we're becoming less equal, more unequal. Just last year, over 40 countries in our region showed a trajectory towards increased inequality. So there's a mixed picture of progress, a mixed picture of success, and some critical areas of concern.
That said, what can countries do to reverse these trends, and how can you, as ESCAP, help?
Well, of course, there's a lot to do. Well, I think what our experience has shown, not us only as ESCAP, but the experience of Asia Pacific has shown, that economic growth is not enough. Economic growth alone is not enough to achieve the SDGs, to achieve the social progress that the region wants to increase, to achieve the reduction in vulnerability that the region aspires to. So in order for the region to put its efforts back on track in terms of achieving the SDGs, it needs to make the right kind of investments, not just investment in economic growth, but investment, for example, in reducing vulnerability. Why? Because every time there is the next weather event, there is a typhoon, there's a tropical cyclone, there's a storm of some sort, it pulls people back into poverty. It impacts our poorest communities the hardest and the most. So we need to invest in disaster risk reduction. We need to invest in multi-hazard early warning systems. We need to become more resilient, because that's a very big part of our story when it comes to SDG implementation, reduction of poverty. Similarly, we need to invest more in our social protection as a region. If you look across the region, we spend around just less than 4% of GDP on social protection. Now, the global average is 11%, and the average in OECD countries is over 20%. So we're spending very little on social protection. And what that means is that 60% of our population doesn't have health coverage. So each incidence of disease, of sickness, of illness, again, is pulling people back into poverty. It means that they don't have access. And in a way, that's another perpetuation of inequality as well. So invest in DRR, invest in social protection. These are two of the key areas of investment that the region is desperately needing.
And then Asia-Pacific is also one of the regions when it comes to a lot of technology progress. You have huge technology markets and huge technology infrastructure. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, again, it's very interesting, because on the one hand, many countries in the region are at the forefront of technology, whether it's renewable energy technologies, green technologies, artificial intelligence. Many countries are already talking about or implementing policies to promote industry 4.0, like Thailand, like other countries. So we have a lot of countries that are on the cutting edge of technology and very advanced. But at the same time, we have a lot of countries that are much less advanced. So what we're seeing actually is technology is increasingly becoming the new frontier of inequality, inequality between countries and also inequality within countries. And that's most starkly seen when you look at what we call the digital divide. Who has access to internet and who doesn't? Because increasingly, as services, education, health, government services, e-government, all of this requires internet access, 3G, 4G. So those who don't have it, in essence, then don't have access to those services. And so you see a growing digital divide that we need to address. Otherwise, that becomes the new frontier of inequality.
Before we conclude, what message would you like to give to those outside the region, say to our audiences in New York and Geneva?
Well, I think, you know, it is the region to watch. You know, it is the largest region, 2/3 of the world's population. I mentioned before, more than 50% of the global middle class. It is a region also with major challenges. It is a region with over 400 million poor people still. 400 million poor people. Extraordinarily large numbers. So it's a region of progress. It's a region that has shown that it can bring about transformational change, which is what is needed, right? When you see that 1 billion people were pulled out of poverty over the past few decades, that's an extraordinary achievement. So look at Asia as an example of what can be done, but be aware of the challenges that remain in Asia when it comes to poverty, when it comes to nutrition and stunting and malnutrition, when it comes to inequality. I think that's the message that I would convey.
And lastly, would you like to add anything from your side?
I think we're in a privileged position, in a way, sitting in this dynamic region that is Asia Pacific, with countries that are so very different from each other. We have our small island developing states. We have the landlocked states. We have the LDCs. We have middle-income countries. We have the technology haves and the technology have-nots. And I think this gives rise to almost the perfect combination for us as ESCAP, for us as the UN, to be able to facilitate the exchange that can take place, the South-South cooperation that is going to play a very big part in the implementation of the 2030 agenda. And I think that, for me, is the excitement of the moment we're in. A multipolar world where Asian giants are emerging or have emerged, where technology is moving fast and can address many of the problems that we have. So really, for me, the message is one of great excitement, one of clear recognition of the challenges that lie ahead of us, especially for Asia Pacific, a clear recognition of the differences and divergences that exist in the region, but also an acknowledgement of the opportunity that in itself brings, including for South-South cooperation, technology exchange and development.